Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm your host, Cynthia Fuller. And I have my guest today is Mike Camion, who does video labs in the city of Albany. And he's a filmmaker and he knows filmmakers. So, Mike, why don't you tell everybody a little bit of what you do?
Sure. Cynthia, thanks for having me back on your show.
Thank you.
3 years ago, I started what is today now is known as the first filmmakers lab, or the Northeast Filmmakers Lab in upstate New York. We're based in Albany, out of Albany, and we attract filmmakers here in the Northeast, in surrounding states, as well as regionally here in the capital region, but also from around the world. They come together to, first they're mentored by industry professionals to help them complete their film, fund their film, market their film. We don't finance films, but we give them ideas on how to get financing and the things that they need in order to prepare their work, their project, their vision to get completed. And then we talk about audience, which I find a lot of filmmakers don't think about, but it's really important to consider that while you're making your project, because often that leads to the success of funding a project. And so it's a four-day intensive lab. And you can find us at cinemaexchange.org. That's our website.
Now, have you always had an interest in film? How far back does your interest go?
Oh, wow. Thanks for asking that. It obviously goes back to childhood and being taken to the theater for the first time. I remember seeing, I think it was a musical, Zippity Doodah, with my mom, and just being captivated. But later on, when I was actually kind of young, I saw a movie called Billy Jack, and that influenced me just in my awareness of Native Americans. And then it was a movie called Ordinary People that led me into understanding the power that movies can communicate to us, things about our lives, things about our families, that help us, things that can't be communicated sometimes. They're just too deep. And I think that's why I like to go to the movies, is I like to, you know, explore the human condition and see it up on screen and mirror it back to me. And it's, it's a very powerful medium.
So you've been doing go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to add specifically, I was in a previous lifetime a social worker where I was interviewing sex abuse perpetrators. And at that time I used a video camera. This was postgraduate work. And I got to play the tape back. And it was there that I realized that I missed so much in the body language, I just became enamored with playing it back and realized that somebody was communicating more to me by their body language. And I think that's when I really became strongly interested in motion pictures. And this wasn't until I was 25, 26, and then in 28 is when I really got committed to starting my own company and working on my first Adirondack Woodsman, and that took 6 years to create. The finished film was called Inside the Blue Line, Legend's Legacy, and it's been out since 1998, 99. It's just, it continues. And that's the thing about when you make movies, they can, they last something than the creator. Once you've reached an audience, they more of it. So you know you've told an important story that might have been missing or our current narrative. And that's very powerful. I mean, it's not unlike telling stories around a campfire. That's what, you know, many have said what the movies are today. It's replaced that experience. So it's something that has been practiced and something I think that, you know, will continue. What's exciting for us in the Northeast is that we're getting more and more interested, not just in the viewing of movies, but in the making of movies. And, you know, so that's exciting.
You decided to do this endeavor in the Capital District, but California, Hollywood is, you know, noted for filmmaking. Why did you decide to do this in Albany, New York?
Well, Albany, New York is my home. 20 years ago, 1995, Tom Mercer and I co-founded a group called Upstate Independence. It's now today known as Upstate Independent Filmmakers Network. And it was part of that in the 90s. That's when Sundance was just becoming popular. Independent film was just becoming popular. And, you know, it was possible. You know, it was possible to go and make a movie, a low-budget movie with your friends, hopefully talented ones, and you could make something that would attract, be of interest to an audience. It's gotten much more competitive since, but specifically for the lab and the Capital Region, I think doing it here is partly by how it came about. I had a short film that caught the attention of a Russian filmmaker in 2011. He was here at the Boston Spa Film Festival showcasing his film. He saw my work, which is a short called Relax that was shot in downtown Albany. And he really liked it. He invited me over to a producer's lab there in Russia. I spent 8 days in I spent 4 days in Moscow and 4 days in St. Petersburg, and then hung out until my film screened at Tula. So the link here was the Tula Alliance. And
right.
I wanted to bring what I learned while I was over there was just how difficult it is for other filmmakers. I was the only American in this producer's lab, and filmmakers were from 16 countries, and there was about 100 filmmakers all together. But what I discovered was just how difficult it is for them to have their film screened in the United States. And so I wanted to invite them to screen their films here, as well as meet our filmmakers here in the Northeast. And with that, we could exchange both technique and learn about each other's cultures, and I think it's a real powerful and lasting way to do that through film. And, you know, a big part of what we do is audience, and you get audience feedback, and that's why filmmakers will travel here, is to get feedback. And we just wrapped up our four-day Northeast Filmmakers Lab, the third edition, this past Sunday. And the closing film was from a Canadian Bangladesh filmmaker. I was just emailing him shortly ago on his documentary on this small culture that's located near the coastlines that has been impacted by the tsunamis, and their concern for access to fresh drinking water, and it's called Sacred Water. And these are just issues that I think we can all resonate with a growing concern about where's our water going to come from. So there's a lot we can learn from other cultures, and film is a real powerful way to capture that story.
Now, over the years that you've been doing this, well, first of all, tell us a little about the film lab and what it's all about.
Well, specifically this year, it started last Thursday for us. There's months of planning that goes into it. We kick it off at the Linda WAMC's Performing Arts Studio on Central Avenue. The filmmakers arrive. They get to know each other first. Then we take them downtown to the State Archives. The film archives at the Archives Partnership Trust is the world's largest collection of movie scripts, which many people, including those in the industry, don't know about exists. And the archives collection is one of our field trips. We then go into Film Talk One, which this year focused on the power of landscape in power of place in film, and that presentation was with Elaine Babis, who flew to visit us from Salt Lake City. She's a professor out there at Utah University, and Elaine's written a number of books and articles and published in many publications her research on the power of place in film. And that was a really, again, film is a very universal language, so it's a topic that many of the filmmakers could relate to. And we had filmmakers come in from Germany, Kazakhstan, Moscow, Canada, Bangladesh, as well as the Northeast. So there's, in general, there's 7 film talks in all. There's a screening each evening. This year, the opening film was called The Good Mind by filmmaker Gwendolyn Cates. It's on the Onondaga or Haudenosaunee people in upstate New York. And coincidentally, the theme there was on the environment and clean water and access to water and the importance, you know, the message that Native Americans are reminding us is just how important access to Mother Nature and taking care of Mother Nature is going to be for not only our immediate survival, but 7 generations out. So we have some real powerful screenings with audience interaction. They're then followed by a Q&A. Our moderators are those people who are in the industry, and it's something we'd like to see the public. We think that the public will get a lot out of by attending any of our screenings or film panel talks. If they're just an enthusiast, or if they're a real cinephile, or you know they really want, like a student, they're not gonna. I know from experience or fact, talking with students, working with them, they're not going to experience this level of discussion in the classroom. It's real-world experience. But it's also fun for just the cinephile who wants to know a little bit more about the filmmaking, go behind the curtain and see how a movie's made, see how decisions are made. You know, for some of us, it's really fascinating, and we just can't get enough of it.
Now, you're doing a really terrific service for the people of Albany to teach them, you know, about the arts, about indie films. But in, let's say, Cleveland, Ohio, and St. Louis, is there a similar effort to do what you're doing here in Albany in other parts of the country?
I don't think so. I think there's a film festival every day somewhere on the planet. I think there's over 7,000 film festivals. What we do is we go a bit deeper than just exhibiting. And as one of our filmmakers says, you know, exhibiting and applause, you know, it's more than that. We want to get to know you and the subject of your film and your passion for filmmaking and then how it comes about. Now, sometimes film festivals have an opportunity for that, but the bigger ones tend to get ultra big, and you miss that. A lot of the filmmakers tell us we like where it's at right now in year 3. It's small, which we're all connected. It's like being part of a family, or perhaps like being on a show like Saturday Night Live, where you're all get to know each other, and you have a good time. But you're really doing what you want to be doing and studying your craft. So, you know, that's the key, I think, part of a lab. we also think that the screenings and the panels can be, which are accessible to the public, can be of value. But back to your question, in terms of what's going on, what we're offering is what we think is a world-class experience for very little. You get to meet Sundance filmmakers. You get to meet award-winning writers. These are the best in the country. You get to meet 40-year Hollywood veteran movie makers, and it's access that's key. So I'm not aware of this happening in too many places, and so I think it's a unique service. We are a nonprofit. We really rely on the community to support us. So, for example, we put filmmakers up in the community. In some cases, we can put them up in a hotel through one of our sponsor, Albany Marriott. They've been with us for 3 years, and they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But we also work with caterers and vendors who help us, you know, make this happen. And and it is a service to the region because these are the filmmakers. Take, for example, last year, Susan Robbins came to us with her documentary, Lee's 88 Keys, and that was on Albany's jazz legend, the queen of jazz, Lee Shaw. Now, she came to us having shot the film, but it was only about 50% done, and one of the things that filmmakers consistently say when they leave us after 4 days of an intensive, you know, seven film talks, screenings, one-on-one sessions, they just feel energized. And that's really important for them to go and do the work that they're going to do. It's likely underfunded work, but it's good for the community. Now, in Susan's case, Lee's 88 Keys has been playing in film festivals across the U.S., I think over 20 of them now. And it's a really fine film, and it constantly promotes Lee's presence here in the capital region, which leaves viewers around the country with a better understanding of and a different perspective of life here in the capital region. What Elaine Babbitt said in her presentation was a place isn't a place, and she was quoting a particular writer, until somebody writes a poem about it or somehow incorporates it in poetry. And that's the beginning. So putting a place in a movie is like poetry on steroids. And, you know, that's very powerful for the has a very lasting and potentially economic, long-term economic impact on our region for it to be celebrated and promoted and highlighted in a way that, you know, you couldn't pay for that. To export the area elsewhere around the world. So it like in this movie, Bangladesh, you know, sacred waters. As we said in the Q&A afterwards, one of the filmmakers said, I'll probably never go there, but I've been there thanks to this film, and now I know the place. And I think that's what movies can do, is transport and communicate a message and take people to places around the globe.
There's so many people in this country that are creative and that have ideas and who might be receptive to you doing this lab in other parts of the country. Have you ever thought of that, or have you ever acted upon that?
It's been mentioned that we could, the Capital Cinema Cultural Exchange could host its lab in many cities, both in the U.S. and around the globe. In fact, even more so after this last round of the third edition, more people came up to me and said, you could take this on the road. And, you know, that's worth looking into, because it's a model that's based on a European model. Both my experience in Russia was a lab, and then from there going to Rotterdam, not Rotterdam, New York, but Rotterdam in Holland. And there are certain elements that make it work well and could work well anywhere. And if a community outside the capital region that might be listening to this wants to, I'd be happy to talk with them about it. The industry experts that I work with would be willing to travel. And there are filmmakers everywhere that would desire, you know, access to this level of intensive training and audiences as well. If you're going to cultivate filmmaking in your area, and a lot of, you know, regions are discovering that they have so much history that's untold, they want to learn these skills of how to tell a story, how to market it, how to reach an audience. They would want something like this. So I'd be open to it. And we're already in communications with some other cities in New York to start, to see if we can, you know, how we would go about taking the show on the road. It would be exciting for the filmmakers, that's for sure.
Is one of the cities, this would be a great venue for New York City. Has that ever been talked about?
We haven't looked at New York just yet, but we would be open to it. It has been, I can't say that it has initially talked about, because that's how we started, and part of it was with Nora Armani, who is the founder of the Socially Relevant Film Festival. We were the lab component, she's the festival. There was just such a great distance physically between us that it was hard to program it. But the lab works best when it's nested inside something that's already going on. So if a community does have a film festival and they want to augment it with some real quality educational components, you know, I think audience are looking for both the screenings and what we call the film talks.
So if anybody is listening to this, I'm going to share this on my social network. How can they reach you, Mike? What would be the best way that they could reach you and tell you that they want to do something similar to what you're doing?
Well, it's real simple. They can visit our website, cinemaexchange.org, and they can email us at info@cinemaexchange.org.
Okay, great. Now, you've been interested in films for a number of years, and you've talked to filmmakers, and you've seen different... Well, but before I get to that question, when you have a gathering with filmmakers, and they've done something really profound, most people, when they go to the movies, they see like a Hollywood production. Where do most of these filmmakers get to show their work?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, one person said that the reason why there are 7,000 film festivals around the globe is that filmmakers are still looking for places to show their work. Often the first stop for a completed program is a film festival. But that costs money. They have to apply. And there isn't a 100% guarantee that it's going to get in. And after they've, you know, maybe spent $50 per application on 10 applications and spent $500, they might be tapped. And they got zero results. So they'll look to what was called four-walling, and they'll host a screening, or they'll get lucky enough and be invited to a showcase like with us and show their film. So you you've got to look, you know, online and in your newspaper for film screenings beyond just the movie house screenings, you know, which is the Cineplex, where they're showing the next Avengers and Spider-Man.
Right.
And that really is, you know, Steven Spielberg has said that's really the direction that the studio industry is going in, and that is in these big budget extravaganza type pictures that cost $150 to $250 million to make, and they're going to market them for the same cost, and, you know, they'll break even after advertising when the film grosses $1 billion. You know, $100,000 or $250 or $500,000 indie is not going to compete in any way with that. So, you know, you're going to find some of these films at art house theaters, which are disappearing. You're going to find them at special curated screenings, which we fortunately have many venues like that in the capital region that are hosting screenings for indie films. And if I could just put a plug in for Upstate Independence Filmmakers Network, you can learn more about films here in the capital region of filmmaking by attending their monthly meeting online at ui-fn.com. The monthly meetings are the first Tuesday of the month. And then you'll hear about what screenings are coming up. So it's really a lot of word of mouth, and movie houses like the Linda, like the Madison and the Spectrum, and over in Schenectady, Proctor's has its own movie screening series. You know, there's lots to choose from. And then look north to Saratoga. So, yeah.
So you've been doing this for a number of years. What's different perspectives? What have you seen that you had an aha moment with?
Wow, that's a good question. I also work as a location scout and manager, and I marvel at once a filmmaker gets their money, their ability and their passion to get something done. So last summer, I was hired by a West Coast production company, Washington State, to serve as the unit production manager on a movie called As You Are. This movie came in. We started looking for locations August 10th. We were in production September 12th. We wrapped October 9th. The filmmakers were editing the movie throughout, and it landed in Sundance, was accepted in, like, December 3rd. It premiered in January this past year, and it won the special jury prize for best indie feature. That was an aha moment. I kind of felt it was coming, and it's a miracle that, A, the movie would stay on schedule and be shot and edited so well in such a short amount of time. But hats off to the producers and to the director and the writers for that. That was a true aha moment. I was like, wow, they pulled it together because it was a singular focus effort. And it was shot here in Albany County. And I can't wait for that, for the public to see that movie on the big screen, because it deserves, you know, that celebration.
In the little time we have left, Mike, why don't you give me contact information again so people listening to this can contact you, find out more about what you're doing, and maybe network with you where they could do something in their area.
Oh, thanks so much, Cynthia, for having me on. Folks can reach me and learn more about what we're doing here. Our team is at cinemaexchange.org, and they can email us, which will reach me, at info@cinemaexchange.org. And if they don't hear from us, it's only right away. It's because I just got pulled in on a project. It's an exciting project that's coming to Albany, and I'll be starting. We start scouting locations on Monday, and we'll be filming on the 24th for 4 weeks. So it's another one of those movie miracles that's about to happen in the upstate region. But they should give me a try, and we'll get back to them for sure.
Thank you, Mike. You've been listening to Mike Camion, and he's with Videos for Change Productions. This is Cynthia Poole. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, share your thoughts on Twitter at hashtag Focus on Albany, download on your smartphone, and subscribe to iTunes. Thank you, Mike. Good luck with all your endeavors, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me on, Cynthia.